We're still thankful to the Lord for his blessings.
Amen.
These are your prayers. We share this thought. I'd like for you to consider the words of this song, if we can sing it. Sometimes life is like words and music that can't quite become a song. So we cry inside and we try again and wonder what could be wrong. But when we turn to the Lord at the end of ourselves, like we've done a time or two before, we find his truth is the same as it's always been. We never will need more. It's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in running, but in resting. It's not in wandering, but in praying, that we find the strength of the Lord. It's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in running, but in resting. It's not in wandering, but in praying, that we find the strength of the Lord. He's all we need for our every need. We never need be alone. Still he'll let us go if we choose to live life on our own. Then the only good that will ever be said of the pains we find ourselves in, they are places to gain the wisdom to say, I'll never leave him again. It's not in trying, but in trusting. It's not in running, but in resting. It's not in wandering, but in praying, that we find the strength of the Lord. It's not in trying, but in trusting. Not in running, but in resting. Not in wandering, but in praying, that we find the strength of the Lord. It's not in wandering, but in praying, that we find the strength of the Lord.
When we consider being overcomers, we're going to have to find some strength in him. When we consider the trials and tests that we're going to meet in this life, we're going to have to find daily strength in him. What we found last year is not sufficient for today. What we found last month is not sufficient for today. And what we found yesterday is not sufficient for today. But we can't go along life's pathway with the attitude that is described in this song. There are those times when life does seem like words and music, and yet it seems like they can't be quite put together to be the song in our life that we desire to be. Sometimes we find ourselves wondering, what are we doing wrong? Why do I not experience it in the way that I desire? But when we turn to the Lord at the end of ourselves, He helped me one time to see that the end, at the end of every man's self, there is Jesus.
Yes.
When man comes to the place where he's ready to give it up and turn it loose, where he's willing to let him work it out,
Yes. Then
he's able to find that his truth is the same as it's always been, and that we didn't need anything else more. Sometimes as children, they'll want something maybe put together, and they'll bring it to us. Mother, father, will you fix this for me? And as you endeavor to try to put it all together, their little hands is right in there, and you finally have to just tell them, if you'll leave me alone and let me fix it, I'll take care of it for you. So many times, that's the way it is with us.
Yes.
We take things to the Lord. Lord, please fix it. Lord, do it for me. And he takes it in his hands, but there's our little hands right in all of that. And he has to help us to see that when you come to the end of yourself, when you'll finally let me have it, I'll fix it for you. I'll do it for you. I'll take care of the matter. And I'll give you the strength to wait on me. And then I'll give you the strength to go on further.
Yes.
When we consider he is all we need for our every need, we don't have to go alone in this way alone.
Amen.
But we do find that if we choose to go on by ourselves, he'll let us do that.
Yes.
And then we live a life on our own.
Yes.
We meet all of the pains and the sorrows. And the only thing that can be said about them is that when we went in our own way, those are places that should teach us that I'll never do this again.
Yes.
I won't go without him anymore. I'll stay with him and allow him to go with me as I go along life's pathway. And if he stops, I'll stop.
Yes.
If he keeps going, I'll keep going. Or think about Gideon when they were there. And he started out with, I believe it was 32,000 men. And the Lord said, that's too many. And he asked all of those that are afraid, you're scared, you're free to go back home, and 22,000 people turned around and went back. People that were men of war who had been in battles before, but they went back. Could you imagine what he must have thought? I went from 22 or 32 down to 10,000 people.
Yes.
What am I going to do? And then the Lord said, there's still too many. Let's test them. And he went from 10,000 down to 300. Don't you see, he was in a place where he could have said, Lord, wait a minute. You're sending me out here to battle with 300 people? Oh, we find there that they went on to battle. And the Lord began to work in their behalf.
Yes.
But we also find there that they were in a place where they were faint. But he said he was faint and still pursued. Those 300 kept right on going. When it looked like they couldn't go any further, they'd come by one group of people, give us some food as we battle these people, and those people said, no, you're not getting any help from us. He could have said, well, they've gone on. These people won't give us any food. We might as well turn around and go back home. Maybe we can get back home before we starve. No, he said, I'll deal with you when I come back. They went on faint and still pursuing, would not give up. You and I are going to have to be in a place. We can't try the Lord. We have to trust him.
Amen.
We can't say, Lord, if you don't do something by a certain length of time, then I'm going to do something else.
Yes, that's right.
That won't work.
Amen.
We can't run from those things. We sing that song, ne'er run from the battle, but face the fight. And if we're going to face it, we're going to have to rest in him.
Amen.
And then it's not in the wondering. You know, sometimes we meet things and we'll just worry ourselves. We'll just wear ourselves out literally, mentally and physically, wondering all about it. Done thought it over and over and over and considered every angle and yet just still thinking. How's this going to be? How's that going to be? I give the example. We had a boss when I was on the central maintenance crew, and And I work in a power plant where we produce electricity, and this crew is responsible for tearing the units down and putting them all back together. We took care of all the heavy-duty work. And every morning we had this boss, he'd come in and he played what we call 40 questions. What have you done about this? Somebody better have an answer. What are you doing about the other? What are you doing about this here? We'd come up against a problem. There's about 7 of us engineers and some technicians, and we couldn't figure out what to do to solve it. And Noah, we need to have an answer, because when Mr. Elam comes in the morning, first thing he's going to ask, are you rebuilding and putting things back together? And the answer would be no, then why? Well, when he came in that morning, are you rebuilding the turbine? No, we're not. Why? Because we got this problem. What is the problem? So we let him know. And then everyone began to try to bring forth ideas. Maybe we could try this. Maybe we can build it up in that way. Maybe we can do something else. And after all our discussion and him helping us, we wasn't any closer to solving the problem than before he got there that morning. He finally told us, well, you've done discussed it. Now let's go do something. And he hadn't helped us with any answers either. And we knew it was time to get out of the office, head out to the plant. We'd better try something, even if it wasn't the right thing. We'd better make some effort to get along the way there. My point is that sometimes we discuss things and we wonder about them within ourselves to the point that we've actually come to the place it's time to quit wondering about it. It's time to quit thinking about it. Just pray about it and get up and move on. If we're faint, let us still yet pursue and look to him to provide the answers. And don't you know, when we got out of that place and we all went out there and started looking and said, well, let's try this. And we tried it yesterday, but it didn't work. But let's go at it again, maybe a different look at it. Let's do something different. Don't you know, we all worked together and got the problem solved.
Yeah.
Many a time, that's the way it is with us in dealing with the Lord. If we'll just bring it to him, pray about it, and leave it there as we go about our daily duties, don't you know he'll begin to impart to us, this is what you need to do.
Yes.
This is where you need to go. Now I want you to turn right here. And by the end of the day, we're saying, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You worked it out for me, and you brought me safely through. We must stay with him and consider the promises that God has provided for us concerning these matters. Let us turn to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. We want to look at verses 12 through 14, and then we're going to drop down to the 25th verse. Let us consider some things about the Lord here and how that we're able to rely upon him. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? All as we consider this, consider the question of who has done this for the Lord. There have been those who have come through the ages of men, and they were very intelligent, were able to figure out great and difficult problems along life's way. But when you consider this world, that he hung it out there on nothing,
yes.
Consider all of the planets in their orbit, and they've still been there ever since he spoke them into existence. Consider the seasons that we have, winter, summer, spring, and fall, the way the trees and the grass and the fruits and all those things are able to grow. Consider the landscape of this entire world and the beauty that nature is able to paint it with the changing of the seasons. And then ask the question, who was able to bring that about to him? As we look on that, we begin to consider just how great God is. And we drop down to the 25th verse, and he begins to let us know some things here. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When we consider this here, we find that we have a God that we cannot compare him to any other thing. As you look in the world today, there is nothing that you can look at and say, that gives me an idea of just how great my God is. There is nothing that can come close in comparison to his power and his might, to his knowledge and wisdom. And as we look there, he begins to deal with Israel and with Jacob, calling them by names that would remind them of what he had done for them as he brought them out of the wilderness. And we see here that he lets them know, here they are thinking that our ways are hid from God, but he lets them know, have you not known? Haven't you considered? Haven't you ever heard that I am the great one, the Lord that created all of these things? I don't faint. I don't get weary. I go and go as I please, do whatever I so will, are able to move men in whatever way they desire. I desire to move them. And even if they want to act contrary, has the wisdom to use their contrary actions and still bring about his will without overriding their choice as they go along life's pathway. He says here that with all of that, he giveth power to the faint. Do you find yourself in those places where you want to feel like, as a songwriter, sometimes it seems, I dare not go one step farther on, and from my heart all courage has disappeared and gone. But this is the place where he can pour forth his power and cause the faint to receive a new inspiration, be determined to press the battle on, and be going forth to them that have no might. Feel like I've expended myself to the last degree, am not able to go any further, but yet he increases their strength when they're in those tonight. If you and I are bound and determined that we're not going to give up, we're going to find that when it seems like we don't have any more strength, we're still able to hang on to the Lord and say, I will not let thee go until you bless me. Oh, as we go along life's pathway, he tells them here that the youth, those who were strong, not just any youth, but the select ones of the children of Israel, the ones that maybe had the best athletic ability, the greatest natural strength, those will still yet fall as they encounter this race. But he lets us know here that even though they may fall and be weary, those that wait upon the Lord, that will stay with him, they're going to come to a place where the Lord will renew their strength. They will be able to mount up with wings as eagles. The eagles are able to fly right headlong into the storm and allow the wind to carry them on up. As some people say, they mount up close to the sun, so you and I can mount up in such a way that we get closer and closer to the Lord as we go along life's pathway. And when we do that, we find that we can run and not be weary. We can walk and we shall not faint. All as we consider the Lord's blessings, he doesn't want anyone to be weak and timid in their experience as they go along life's pathway. And yet, even as the songwriter said, you are strong enough if you count it so. Let us know that even the weakest one is able to overcome every foe they face if they'll stay with the Lord and look to him to provide them the strength necessary. There'll be those times when we might find ourselves being attacked by the devil, much like Tobias and Sanballat, when they came by and saw Nehemiah and the children of Israel rebuilding the walls. They stood about and tried to mock them. All a fox could tear that down. I don't even know why they're trying to build it. And all something else can come along and just push that wall on over. We'll meet those times where the devil may try to let us know, you don't have any strength left. I'm able to just kind of puff on you and blow you over. I've got you to a point where I can take you down whenever I so choose. But it's for you and I to stay with the Lord, to have that strength. You see there that those people never did stop Nehemiah from rebuilding the wall. They said all they could. They even decided they'd make plans to go up and fight. But they found out that there those people were. Although they had gotten faint because of all the rubble that had to be removed, they still yet was there faithful to the job. They were faithful enough that when they heard that there would be those coming against them, they had their sword in one hand, laying the bricks and the mortar with the other hand. You and I can do the devil in the same way. We can receive that strength from the Lord to where we can work on our own experience with the one hand and fight him off with the other as we go along life's pathway. Over in the same book here, this 41st chapter, let's look at verse 8 and consider what he says here. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He was letting them know that he had chosen them, and he hadn't cast them away, and that he was going to do something for them. Fear thou not, I am with thee, right here beside you, dwelling with you. Don't be dismayed. No need to be confused. Yeah. No need to feel like it's also perplexing that I just don't know what to do. We realize that we've got someone who has all knowledge. As you and I go a long life's way, we may travel with somebody and we may be totally lost as to where we're going, but we have a trust and a confidence that they know the way and that they're able to get us there, and so we don't find ourselves concerned and dismayed about how are we going to get to our destination. So it should be with you and I to realize we've got God with us who has all knowledge and power. I believe Job said he knows the way that I take. So then it's for you and I to rest there in his arms, allow him to take us, knowing that he'll take us safely through. We see here that he let them know, or he reminded them, that I am thy God, I'll strengthen thee. When Elijah was there and the angels met him out there in the wilderness, he awoken him, gave him some bread, told him to arise and eat, for the journey is too great for thee. But then when he arose and ate, he was able to run several miles, make it right on into the city. So it is with you and I. He'll provide that strength that we need when the journey is getting too great. He lets them know, I'll help you, I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. In other words, I've got all my power, all my strength, my wisdom and knowledge at your disposal. I'll use it in whatever way I need to use it to be what I ought to be to you if you'll stay true to me and allow me to provide you those things you need as you go along the way. He went on to say, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, letting them know there, although you may be considered as a worm, something lowly amongst all the people, those who are incensed against you, all of your enemies, I'll bring them to naught. When they try to come against you, I'll provide a way of deliverance. I think sometimes about the time there when the prophet was there in the city, and he was giving advice to the king when a different group of people would come against him. And finally, this opposing nation had a king and said, somebody is going and telling the Israelites our plans. Every time we try to do something, they seem to always slip out of our hand. He was interested in finding out who the spy was right amongst their people. But somebody knew about the prophet, said he's got a prophet over there named Elijah. He's the one that's telling him what you're intending to do. And he said, well, we'll go and we'll get this prophet. We'll take care of him so we can take care of our business right in hand. But when those soldiers came, the servant looked out and said, alas, master, how shall we do? We're in a bad situation here. I can see all the warriors all around. And Elijah said, Lord, open up his eyes. Let him see what's really out there. When he opened them up, he saw a host of angels encamped all around those warriors. As you and I go along life's pathway, we're going to meet those who will make themselves our enemies. But it's for us to not see those who are around us, but to see who's around them and see the strength and the power of the Lord that He puts at our disposal as we go along life's pathway. Here He lets them know that He was their Redeemer, the one that was going to save them, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open waters in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the cedar tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Here we find that He was going to fulfill this office of Christ and show us that He would put it forth in such a way that all could partake of it and realize that this was God and His doing. The Jews had the gospel brought to them. He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. They felt like that everybody else was just as dry land. But we find here that when God began to work, He began to show forth some of His own planning, spiritually speaking, showing that He had given this to the Gentiles. As they accepted it, the Jews begin to realize God is able to pour out His Holy Spirit upon them as well as us and work through them in the same way that He's worked through us. As you and I go along life's pathway, we find that the Lord is able to work for us in much the same manner. When we come to those dry places, He's able to bring forth the water. When we come to those places where it seems like we're in a thirsty land, He's able to make water right there in the pool. Even as the children of Israel was going forth there in the wilderness and desired something to drink, we find that they got water out of the rock. And in another place, He speaks of getting honey out of the rock in those hard places where it seems like you and I are having such a tough time. We can come to a place where the Lord can get honey out of the rock for us and provide the sweetness and everything else that we need as we go along life's pathway. He's able to do this and provide us the strength necessary as we travel along. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, let us look at verses 14 through 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Here we find Paul was in prison, but yet he was sending forth an encouraging word to the Ephesians, letting them know that even though he was in there, he was on his knees in prayer to the Father that he might bless them, that God might grant them according to his own riches. As you think about it, just in a natural sense, we just generally feel like those who are blessed with more should be able to give more. And we see the example here that this God, who has all power and wisdom, has all might, everything belongs to him. He gives to us according to what he has, provides us with all these riches that are abounding, and is able to strengthen us through his Spirit in the use of these things. We find here that he was praying that God would dwell in their hearts, and that by faith they would be rooted and grounded in love. As you consider the trees that grow by the riverside, they're rooted down deep. And then when the drought comes, because their roots have gone down deep to the waters down below, they're able to have their leaves yet in the dry season, still yet able to produce the fruit. Although things all around may seem like they're burning up, as you and I go a long life's way, the Lord is able to provide us that source of strength, that when people see us being put under heat and put under pressure, they begin to look and expect that the leaves will wither, the flowers will fall off. But as we go a long life's way, he provides us the strength to where the leaves are still there on the tree, the fruit is still being born, the flowers are still there, showing and making the way attractive. We can become grounded in love and be as the building. The church is described as a building there, and it's grounded upon the rock. So it must be with you and I, that we can be firmly fastened upon this rock. As Sister Catherine would tell us from time to time, we might tremble on the rock, but the rock won't tremble under us. And even if we tremble on the rock, it won't be such that we'll be shaken off. We can have something that will hold fast and stay with it as we go along life's way. He lets us know here that we are in a place where he's able to work exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. I find myself sometimes trying to consider, Lord, we've got some needs in this particular situation, and here as I look upon it, I can think about how you could work it out in this way, and I can think about how you could work it out in that way, and I know that you can do something way beyond what I can think. So I'm trying to leave it in a place where you're free to do it without any limitations in any kind of way. As you and I go a long life pathway, we find that the Lord is truly able to work in ways that we never thought of before. And he continues to do that as we go along life's pathway. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10, remind us of something that we need to keep in mind as we go along life's pathway. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, then that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Here we find the apostle was letting them know that there were some things that were a thorn in the flesh to him, and he had yet sought the Lord, if you will, Lord, remove this thing from me. But he came to recognize that the Lord had given him this thing, that he not become exalted above measure. There are those things that God allows to come across our pathway, that they might work to keep us humble as we go along the way. And yet as we look at those things, we may seek to get out from under them, but his grace is sufficient for us. I thought about Sister Annabelle told me once, when she was sick and in bed, unable to get out, there were the saints praying for her, Lord, heal her and raise her up. And we understand their love and concern, but she answered them in the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. Precious gold refining purged and draws away, till thy glorious image is reflected there, till the costly jewels of thy grace I wear. She found a place where his grace was sufficient, that she could say, Lord, leave me in the furnace until you get done with me. Although I may be suffering some, I desire to wear your costly jewels.
Yes.
And don't you know that if we're going to wear the costly jewels of His grace, we're going to have to gain some strength as we go along life's pathway.
Yes.
And as we go through those trials and tests and allow Him to give us the grace to keep us there, He'll provide those things that we need. You know, as we consider it, a lot of times people like to wear costly jewels, and as you look there in the advertisements, what do you see? They've always got some young person in the youth and the prime of their life with all these jewels on to make the best picture that they can possibly make, you know, to make it look like this is really the way you ought to dress and you really ought to desire this. But as we look upon the Lord and His blessings, He does not want to bestow His costly jewels on some withered up, dried up experience as we go along the way. That just would not make the right picture for others to see and be attracted by. But as He grants us and leads us in a way that we gain strength in Him, when people are able to see that she or he went through something that is out of the ordinary, when I expected them to just fly off the handle, there they were with a smile upon their face. When I thought they would have all manner of curse words to be spewing forth, there they were speaking softly and gently. When it came time where it looked like they slapped them and they should have stood up for themselves, they meekly turned the other cheek. Now they begin to see some of those costly jewels, and I realize the world has a warped view of that, thinking that if you're able to respond in that way, then you must be weak and you must be scared. But don't you know it takes a certain measure of strength to discipline oneself to stay right there and allow those things to take place and have the effect that they ought to have as we go along the way. I thought about one sister. She got saved at an early age, and her other sisters knew about that. If a person smites you, turn the other cheek. They decided they'd test her out. Come on over here. Smote her on one cheek and she turned the other. They smote her again, she turned it back. They smote her again, she turned it back, didn't get upset with them. Don't you know she caused the two sisters to be saved?
Oh,
as we go along life's pathway, it took some strength, I'm sure, because
yeah.
One of those sisters was younger than she was. And you know how we are, you're younger than me, and you're not going to treat me like that. And we'll set brother and sister straight in a hurry. And sometimes we'll set the older ones in a hurry, too, if we think we can do it and get by with it. But there she was, following those things of God. And as a result, her sisters got saved.
Yes.
All as we consider it there, she had a certain amount of strength.
Amen.
And those costly jewels she was able to wear at that point, that it attracted her sisters and brought them to the Lord. You and I can do the same thing.
Yes.
As we go along life's pathway. Let us turn now to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, starting there at the 32nd verse. And what shall I say? Shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Here we consider the price that was paid for what you and I are able to experience today.
Yes.
Here in this chapter, by faith he expresses what all of these people were able to obtain and how they were able to overcome the things that they were able to do. As we go along life's pathway, we find that we too must be able to do the same thing. Here we find they were mocked, they were scourged, and I think about those martyrs in that time being sawn asunder and yet not resisting, taken to the stakes and being told you must go there, and they would cheerfully walk there knowing they were meeting their death. When we consider it there, they were tempted. I remember reading about one, and the people tried in every way to get him to recant. We'll give you your land back. And he said, I won't do it. And they said, oh, but please, just for this moment, and we won't bother anymore. But he would not let it go. All as we consider there, he was tempted, no doubt. Look here, you can walk away a free man. You won't have to die if you'll do this. But yet he said, I must stay true to my Savior. All as a result then, the writer lets us know the world was not worthy of these people. These people were too good for this old world and the condition that it was in, and they were taken on. And we find here that they all, having obtained a good report, received not the promise. Those things that were provided that you and I are now able to experience, they were only able sometimes to just look over and see a glimpse. And there were many things that the writer says the prophet and the angels desired to look into, but the Lord would shut them up and not allow them to see any more than he wanted them to see. But you and I in this day and time are able to see it in all its fullness. And as we consider that, a part of the problem with many of those who struggle a long life's way, and maybe some of those who turn back, those who don't want to follow the full standard, is because they don't see it all in its fullness. They don't see it for what it ought to be. They don't see it for what it can be in their own lives. They don't see it for what they themselves can get out of it. But they're just looking around. I see Sister So-and-so, and she's not doing this and that. I saw Brother So-and-so, and he's falling here and there. And you all say that you're the one true church. But if we get down to a place where we begin to seek God, we'll be able to see that there's something here that he has intended for us to have, and it's for us to do as Abraham and Moses did. The writer says that Abraham was looking for a city, as you and I, we too need to realize that here among the shadows in this lowly land, we are just a band of pilgrims on the move. We may be burdened down with sorrows. We might be shunned on every hand, but we are looking for a city that's built above. And while we are looking and seeking, we have that vision of Christ in all his glory, a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle, one that is able to move forth and do those things that he would have done. People are talking today about this isn't working and that isn't working, and I understand what they're saying, but instead of looking at that and being discouraged, I'm challenged this morning to find a way that this thing will work in this day and time. As we consider it there, we realize that many say we must change some things to draw other people, but Jesus let them know, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. We should find a way to cause this thing to work as God intended for it to get in that place where we have some strength and some power and some favor with him. When he dealt with Jacob there and he said, I won't let you go, the angel finally said, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. He said, your name will no more be Jacob, but Israel, for thou hast found power and favor with God. So you and I must find that same thing, but we're going to have to look to him to provide us the strength to know how to labor, to know how to dig, to follow on when we're faint, and still yet pursue it. I will not give it up. One sister told me that she expects this thing to be where God would have it to be, and if she can experience it in this same time, she wants to do all she can that those coming behind might be able to experience it. But as we considered it there, I told her, no, sister, I want to ride on the plane myself. I'm all for giving it to those who come on, but I want to experience it
in the way that He intends for us to as we go along in this present day. Or as we go along life's pathway, you and I can stay with the Lord. We can find that place of strength in Him. We can find that place of favor. It's going to mean that we'll have to strive with some things. May have to cut loose some things that's awful close to us. But if you and I are willing to pay the price, we'll be able to possess the land. I think about Joshua and Caleb. When they came back, the people said, oh, we can't go over there. We're grasshoppers in those people's eyes. They waned in their strength right there, caused the people to murmur and complain. Moses, you done brought us out here just for us to die in the wilderness. We can't go back to Egypt, and we can't go over to the Canaan land. Well, we'll just decide we're not going to go. And there they were saying, we are well able to possess the land. Now's the time to go. Well, if they had stayed with the Lord, if they had sought Him for some strength at that point in time, He could have reminded them that I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. I'm going to uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. I'm going to work in your behalf. But no, they took it upon themselves to decide how those people saw them. When you consider that, I thought about how when they came out of that place of Egypt there, went across on the dry land, was able to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When He took care of Pharaoh's army, they seen and forgotten all about that. Had they not considered that no doubt those people in Canaan had heard how they had been delivered, and those people no doubt were afraid of them coming their way, knowing that God had delivered them in that way. What will He do when He gets here to us? But because they themselves, weighing in their own strength, began to consider their own selves just how they looked to someone else, they did not go forth. And then we find that after that, Moses told them, well, the Lord's not with you. Don't go over there. Then they decide, well, we're going to go anyway. And they got beat out. Oh, as we go along life's pathway, let us seek the Lord for some strength there. Yeah. Let us stay with Him that we might be able to mount up. When He says go, we'll be able to go. Oh, as I consider it there, I think too about Caleb from time to time. I believe the writer said that as he came down to the end of his way, he was able to express that he was just as strong as he was when they first went over into Canaan land, was just as able as you and I go along life's pathway. We need some strength within our own experience that when we come down to the final end, we'll be able to say, my faith is just as strong now as it was when I first started, that we got that same experience that Caleb had. And you know it's for us today if we'll only meet the conditions, if we'll strive, if we'll stay with Him, if we'll trust Him instead of trying Him, if we'll rest with Him instead of running away from the battles, if we'll pray instead of just wondering how are we going to overcome these giants. I think too about David when he went forth to meet Goliath. It looked like this little ruddy youth, somebody skinny and kind of spindly, of a complexion, maybe didn't look quite so healthy. But when he got out there and Goliath wanted to curse him, going to cast you to the dogs, don't you know he used what he had some strength in, those very things that he'd been assured of, and he was able to slay that giant. And as we consider that, I thought about how the writers point out that Goliath had four other brothers, and if you notice, David had four other stones. As you look there in 2 Chronicles, I believe it is, we find that them four other giants were slain by other people besides David, but they were all his soldiers. And as we consider that, we realize that if you and I will get the strength to slay some of these things in this day and time, when it came down to dealing with those four other brothers, David, they say, had gotten faint and had gotten weak, but his men told him, you go back and don't be in the way. We'll take care of these for you. And so each one of them went out, and they slayed them one by one until all five of them were gone from this face of the earth. So it can be with you and I. if we'll get the strength of the Lord to slay some of these things that are facing us in this day and time, there'll be others who can draw from that strength, and they'll slay more giants as they go along the way, and this thing will be working as the Lord would desire to work as we go along the way, and we'll be able to say we're able to see it just as God intended for it to be. May the Lord help each one of us that will find his strength and press on.